TUC Radio, San Francisco. Time of Useful Consciousness. Technology and Globalization. The Vision of a New Future, Paul Hawken and Satish Kumar. The teach-in on technology and globalization at Hunter College, New York, culminated in a festive evening session on alternatives. From indigenous cultures and science, alternative transportation, community-based city planning, to hydrogen fuel and solar collectors, reference was made to many possible solutions. Paul Hawken, in today's program, says that all these ways of living, building, and healing have already been invented or still survive in indigenous societies. We just need to apply them. If we do not succeed in changing the way we live, we may lose the life support systems upon which we all depend. Paul Hawken is an environmentalist and author. He's probably best known for his latest book, Natural Capitalism, written with Amory and Hunter Lovins. Paul Hawken.
About 3 years ago, I was in Miami. I was in a hotel, and it was like a speech. Got up early in the morning, jet-lagged, out of the shower. At the back of the door, there was a big sign that said, if you see any unusual or suspicious activity, please report it to management. It's a funny sign to read when you're naked early in the morning with a towel around you. And you feel like they know something you don't know, right? But I thought about it more and I realized, gosh, I've been trying to do that my whole life, you know? That's all I've been seeing is unusual and suspicious activity on this planet, you know? And I realized there's no management, you know? So. And the most unusual and suspicious thing about the people who say they're management is that they do not present to us a possibility of a future that makes any sense at all. Right? Isn't that the greatest deficit that we experience in our lives is leaders who stand up and stand for something where we can say, yes, it's why I want to be here, you know, in this body, in this planet, at this time. Who are they? Right? Ben Zander, who's a conductor of the Boston Philharmonic, defines leadership as three qualities. The first is the capacity to listen. Charlene talked about that, right? The capacity to listen. And within that listening, to create new distinctions and categories, and from those distinctions and categories, to draw out from those you listen to new possibilities. And to me, fundamentally, sustainability is about creating new possibilities for humankind. So let me get straight to the point. What can we do in the next 40 years? We can do a heck of a lot. We can reduce what we use in northern OECD, so-called industrial countries, the impact we have on the environment by 90%. Improve the quality of life for all people on Earth, create more resources for the South, whose resources we are expropriating, at the same time, create living wage, dignified, respectful jobs for all people who want to work. We can do that. In fact, we can't do one of them. We can only do all of them. Okay? Now, the question is, why aren't we doing that? Not only can we do it, but we can do it with state-of-the-shelf technologies that you can order for the W.W. Grainger catalog. We do not need to invent anything in order to do this. Everything we have is in place right now. Fritschoff referred to that. Right? So what's going on, right? Why aren't we doing it? The question we have to ask is, really, what happens to a civilization when the limiting factor to human development is the loss of living systems? And what we do know, biologists or not, is that every living system on Earth is in decline and the rate of decline is accelerating. What else do we need to know about the environment? Right? This is forest cover. This is topsoil. This is our aquifers. This is riparian systems. This is our coral reefs, our ocean, climatic stability, biodiversity, you name it. It's all in the skids. The rate of decline is accelerating. That is the world we have both created and inherited. So anything we do, anything we imagine, has to take that into consideration, right? So we have a choice. It's to me ruin or Renaissance, right? And to ruin, we don't have to do anything much at all. We only have to extend the existing mindset that informs the technologies that empower this economy. Whether it be biotechnology, eugenics, nanotechnology, you name it, all these technologies that are supposedly vaulting us into a post-industrial age are quintessentially industrialism in a new shape, in a new form, in a new mass, because industrialism invented by default 250, 300 years ago by engineers and so forth had at its core, at its purpose, what? What was the purpose of it? If it was just machines and technology, they'd be artifactual, they'd be in museums, we'd say, how interesting, we can talk to the Smithsonian about it. But that's not what it was about. It was about increasing the productivity of human beings, allowing people to do more and more work. Well, it worked. People do 100, 200, 300 times more work today than they did 200, 300 years ago. What's wrong with this picture? When you make something more and more productive, do you need more of it or less? Less. What do we have more of in the world today? People. What did we use to make people more productive? Natural capital, resources, living systems, forests, soil, water, energy, metals. What do we have less and less of? Natural capital. So we are an economy that's completely upside down and backwards, using more and more of what we have less of, natural capital, in order to use less and less of what we have more of, which is human beings. And that is why the ecological problem and social inequity and injustice are exactly the same problem. They come from the same mindset and the same system. There's no distinction between them whatsoever. No new technology that is being invented will take us out of this industrial mindset. And anybody who proffers one who says it will, to me, is mistaken. It's the context within which technologies are deployed that will take us out of the industrial age. Right? Again, what is your telecom system, your PDAs, your fax, your cell phones, your computers? What is that all about? It's about making you more productive. And so what we have is a system that's stressing the people who have the jobs and absolutely debilitating and robbing the people who cannot get the jobs of their dignity and self-respect. Again, the marginalization of human beings, right? So what we have in the world today is a billion people who cannot work, who want to work, or have work that's so trivial, like selling pencils on a street corner, that they cannot support their families. That's the ILO figures, right? That figure has grown 200 million in the last 4 years. So what we have done is we have created an economy that's so brilliantly packaged, so brilliantly done, that we're telling 18-year-old men and women that we have created something that's so clever that we don't need you. Right? And they act it out. How do they act it out? Drugs, gangs. You know, they become street corner entrepreneurs with crack, right? They get teen pregnancy. And then what do? We put them in the prison system. And that is... In California, on our last governor, that was the number one contributor to Governor Wilson's campaign, was the Prison Guard Association, right? It's called industry. It's called industrialism of people. This is a system that's upside down and backwards. And what I want to say to you today is that none of that is necessary any longer. The idea that somehow this is the best of all possible systems, and that anything that we propose, well, you know, that's nice, the collectors on the roofs and the wind power and organic food, but you know, it costs a lot of money and, you know, the poor people can't really afford it. It's absolutely absurd. This is the most expensive system there could possibly be. It's the most wasteful system there could possibly be. And the possibilities that we stand for in our lives and our NGOs with our technologies and so forth cost less. Right? We are the low-cost provider of high quality of life for people on Earth. That is what sustainability stands for. And it's about time that we stood up and said so, because what is being proffered is bankrupting us morally, ethically, economically, and ecologically. Right? We know that. Wendell Berry has been very clear about this, a system that marginalizes people, marginalizes nature, a system that marginalizes nature, marginalizes its people. There is an idea that somehow that we're going to fix this system, that somehow if we get enough charismatic white male vertebrates around who have engineering degrees, that somehow we can tweak it so that we don't go to ecological ruin. Well, I'm going to say, time out, I'm sorry. If we really want to move to a just and sustainable society, we only need to ask those people who have and do bear the greatest burden of industrialism. Those are women and children, right? Ask a nine-year-old if we should be double glazing the planet with the Carboniferous period. They'll say, no, it's not a good idea, Daddy. Ask nine-year-olds if we should get rid of tigers and rhinoceros and 50% of all living species in the next 100 years, which is exactly what we're doing. They'll say, no, Mommy, that's not a good idea. Ask women if food and good food and nutritious food is a human right. Ask all people if dignified, respectful, living wage jobs is a human right or not. We know this, right? We simply have to ask those people who are bearing the burden, and they will tell us what to do if we only listen. When there was the PREPCOM and the final UN Cairo meeting on population, populated entirely almost by women, except, of course, the representatives from the Vatican who opposed it, but nevertheless, 3 years at PREPCOM's meeting up to the women of the world came up with the plan to cap world population at 7.6 billion and it would only cost cigarette advertising for 4 years in the world, right? Not one male CEO or prime minister or president in the world stood up and said, we should listen to the women, right? The solutions are here. That's the good news. They're here. What's needed is a quality of listening, right? Like Ben Zander said, have to listen to all the voices, right? We have the tools, the techniques, the ability to do what I had said earlier and much more right now, right? We have it. But one of the things that's preventing us from doing that is that the sustainability movement, the social justice movement, there is still a sense, I think, that we're going to be right when the ship goes down. That this ship is going down. He said, well, I told you so. You should have listened to us, you know. We have to be prepared, okay, and get ready for this, to win. Yay. Yeah. Not to lose, right? I don't know what this next age will be called, but it sure isn't going to be the age of globalization. Something else is happening, right? We don't have a name for it, and we have to prepare for it. Prepare not to vanquish, to conquer, to defeat, but these ideas that we've been hearing all day and tomorrow will certainly, most certainly prevail in this world, right? Right? When Václav Havel and his compatriots in Czechoslovakia, before the fall of the Berlin Wall, you know, what they did was they rehearsed democracy again and again, and they got arrested, put in jail, and they came back out, and they rehearsed it. And when democracy came, they were ready, even for the partition of the Czech and Slovak republics, which was a bloodless split, right? Look at the Soviet Union, where they basically, you know, basically put business people in jail, and they wonder why, who has all the management training in the capital now, which is the criminals, right? In other words, if you do not prepare for the idea that these ideas will prevail, they won't. And the most hopeful thing to me, there's no technology that's hopeful. There's no leader that's hopeful. The most important and hopeful thing that's occurring today is that there's at least 100,000 NGOs in the world today working on the broadest array of issues with respect to social justice and sustainability, and they are the fastest growing social movement in the world today. And what's so hopeful about it isn't that they're just the fastest growing. What's so hopeful about it is that each of these groups has a framework, a mental model, a way of understanding the world, that if you put them up on the wall and start going down and read them all, they don't conflict. And this has never happened before in history. Social movements have come from ideologies, from religions. They've always created war and conflict. And this is the first social movement that has arisen in the world spontaneously. Right? this is an extraordinary thing, you know. If you cast your, you know, if you, when before you were born, you say, I want to be born at the most critical time in the history of civilization, you won, okay? It's now, it's it, we're it. Thank you very much.
That was Paul Hawken, co-author of Natural Capitalism. He's presently producing a feature-length film entitled Uprising, about the growing worldwide resistance to the destruction of the commons by corporations. The film will be accompanied by a book of the same name. Satish Kumar is a leading figure in the spiritual and environmental fields in Britain. Born in India, he became a Jain monk at the age of 9. Inspired by the activist teachings of Gandhi, he left the order and joined the land reform movement. Later, he took an 8,000-mile walk for peace and against nuclear weapons. He began by telling a story about his mother, Satish Kumar.
The story is one day my mother gave a beautiful shawl which she had done embroidery on to my sister. It was a beautiful shawl. If sometimes you might have seen these shawls with mirrors and lots of colors. And when my sister received this shawl, she said, Mother, what a beautiful shawl. Thank you. And then she says, Mother, this is so beautiful, I don't think I can bear to wear it, because it will get spoiled. I'm going to put it on the wall as a wall hanging so that everybody can see it. What a beautiful shawl it is. My mother said, No, this is a stupid idea. The shawl I have made is not for the wall, it's for you. You should wear it. The day you start to put beautiful things on the wall, you start to put ugly things on your body. So, my sister was speechless. And she said, Mother, this is such a lovely shawl. I would like you to make many such shawls. And making by hand takes you 4 months, 6 months, 8 months, so long time. Can I give you a present? Can I buy you a machine, an embroidery machine? So my mother said, But why? Why a machine? What I have made for you, is it not good enough? Why a machine? So my sister said, Mother, it will save you time. My mother said, Is there a shortage of time? When God made time, He made plenty of it. Now, there is a message from my mother to America. The message from my mother to America is simply, slow down. There's a plenty of time. Take a nap. So, that is my earliest story of technology. And when I look around the world, I ask people who are technocrats, very clever, very cunning, very sharp, very intelligent, and they come up with wonderful gadgets. And sometimes I ask them, why are you making all these great, great inventions and technology, using up all the resources? Why are you doing it? And they say, Satish, in your country, India, there's too many poor people. This technology will reduce and remove the poverty. I say to them, is poverty a problem? Or is it a richness which is a problem? How many poor are depleting the world's resources? How many poor are flying around the world? How many poor are driving, what are your Cadillacs and Bukes and big cars? It's the rich who are the problem. For far too long, the rich have kept the focus on the poor, on the problem of poverty. Far too long. Let us now turn that focus on the rich. And ask the simple question, you rich, what are you doing to this planet and to the people? How are you living? Is there a new world vision in which we can develop a new world view, a spiritual world view, where rich can live a little less rich, join the poor? And so that poor can be a little bit rich. And so that we can be brothers and sisters together. Is there a vision, a new vision, a spiritual vision of elegant simplicity? Not the rich capitalist world. There is a spiritual dimension to this globalization and this technology debate. Not only what this capitalist globalized technology is doing to our planet Earth, to our air, to our water, to our resources, to our forests, to our oceans, to our people, but also what this global technology and globalized capitalism is doing to our soul. So that is the question which you need to consider. And therefore, a new world vision, a new world view, a new approach is needed, not from capitalism to communism or capitalism to something else, another organized great ideology, but a way of living slightly, a little bit on less, on elegant simplicity, I would like to call it. There is a time to revisit the vision of William Morris, of arts and crafts movement. There is a time to revisit the vision of Mahatma Gandhi, where he started to spin the spinning wheel and said, we do not wish these great machines and great factories. We want this creative process of spinning and making our own beautiful clothes. I have a very simple suggestion for the audience in this room this evening. Do one thing. Start to bake bread. Like Mahatma Gandhi said, if you want independence, forget the British. Start to spin the spinning wheel. We have to have an alternative to technology. We cannot leave our hands and the creativity, the imagination of our minds, just idle. We need to be artists. We need to make things, but make things which are beautiful, like my mother did. Bake bread. When you will smell the beautiful smell from the oven in the kitchen, your children, your husband, your wife, your parents, your friends, your guests will be delighted. No more that factory bread. I don't know what bread you have in America, but in Britain we have a bread which has a brand name, Mother's Pride. It has neither mother nor pride. I think it should be renamed Mother's Shame. So if we could begin to make our bread, which is sacred bread. Many Christians in this room might remember that when Jesus Christ, Last Supper, he gives the bread and says, "This is my body." Bread is sacred. And even if it's made in a factory, it's a stale bread. It's lifeless bread. It's toxin in it. So many things they put in the factories. Our slogan to combat the technology and technological dictatorship of the world is to begin with everyday eating good, wholesome, homemade, handmade bread. Thank you.
That was the spiritual and environmental leader Satish Kumar. Satish Kumar helped to found Schumacher College in honor of the late Fritz Schumacher, who wrote the classic Small is Beautiful. He publishes Resurgence, a magazine on ecology, the environment, new economics, and spiritual values. Paul Hawken and Satish Kumar spoke at the teach-in on technology and globalization, organized by the International Forum on Globalization, in early 2001. They were recorded by the staff of Hunter College. I hope you have a pen handy for more information. You can find links to the websites of the organizations mentioned today on TUC Radio's website, www.tucradio.org. That's tucradio.org. You can get a copy of today's program with Paul Hawken and Satish Kumar for $12. That includes shipping. This is the very last program in a 7-hour series on technology and globalization. You can choose to order all 14 programs in this series for $45. Past programs include an in-depth analysis of biotechnology, the media, space weapons programs, and much more. This is a very compelling and intelligent lecture series on how technology can serve to spread globalization, and how globalization selectively promotes some technologies to the detriment of others. Again, that's $45 for the 7-hour series. TUC Radio is listener-supported and free to all radio stations. Your tape order helps us stay on the air. Call us toll-free anytime at 877-TUC-TAPE for information on how to order. You can get your tape by mail or credit card, by phone or on the web. Our toll-free phone number, 877-TUC-TAPE, translates into 877-882-8273. My name is Maria Gallardon. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.